The Dave Ramsey Show.
It's more important for you, especially sharp and as much of an ambition and much of a go-getter as you are, to complete school and to complete it debt-free.
After Brian Kilmeade.
That is more valuable than any amount of money you will ever make on a mutual fund in terms of the actual math.
1-4.
In other words, you will be more valuable than this money will make in a mutual fund. So the investment is my secondary concern. My primary concern is you.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Happy Tuesday. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's time this Tuesday morning for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Text in your questions ASAP as impossible. 850-437-1620. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Jenna, good morning to you. How are you?
I told Mike I was going to drool a little bit, had some dental work done, and we're still in recovery. So everything's fine. Just if you hear me slurping, that's why.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, yeah, those trips to the dentist.
I'm saying we should probably use these things on terrorists. It would, it would serve them well.
Oh, my word. Oh, well. Well, Jenna, I got to tell you, special day on Friday. You know what Friday is?
The best day of the week.
It is the best day of the week, but Friday is Good Friday.
That's right.
Probably the most popular planting day of the year. Did you know that?
What? Yeah. On this coming Good Friday?
Every Good Friday.
Every Good Friday.
Every Good Friday.
Not just because it falls on April 15th.
It doesn't make any difference. Whenever it falls, it's one of the most popular planting days. I'll never forget.
Wait, why is that?
I don't know. It goes way, way back to
when you put something in the ground, it'll come to life, right?
That's exactly right.
It just might not happen on Resurrection Sunday.
Exactly. But I'll never forget back in the day when we were selling garden seed, and generally we didn't have a lot of farm customers. We were more urban, if you will. However, on Good Friday, they were lined up around the block to buy garden seed and garden plants and that type of thing, because I don't want to say the old timers, because I am an old timer, but a lot of your prior generations who grew vegetable gardens, many of whom grew to eat so they could feed their family, planted on Good Friday. Because that's what was done before them. The Farmer's Almanac always recommended that. And so it's a special day. Obviously, it's a special day otherwise, but it is a special day insofar as planting is concerned.
Okay, excellent. That's a little good tip right there, especially if you, I know a lot of people like to have Easter lilies and tulips and things like that. Just around in general this time of year, my Easter lilies are just budding.
Really?
Now.
There you go.
Now. And yeah. I think I told you that I received them when my dad passed away.
Right.
Easter 2017. And every year they multiply. So now I only had one and now I have five.
Very good.
Isn't that so cool?
Well, that is cool. Yeah, I was in the garden center the other day picking up a few things, and some of the Easter lilies they have, the potted Easter lilies, are just gorgeous. They were just gorgeous. They really were.
Oh, definitely worth adding to your front porch, even just for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to do a little master's talk in just a little bit, but it is 909. If you have a question, 850-437-1620. I have a couple calls coming in right now. If you would like to ask Mike a question this morning on the Garden Line, or you'd like to text in your pictures of your Easter decorations. I don't know if some people do Easter decor. I know some people who do every single holiday.
Do you dye eggs?
No, I hide them for my kids.
But you don't dye them.
I don't dye them. And as they get older, I've gotten wiser. I now just put pennies in their Easter eggs.
In their plastic eggs.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's way less messy. I will tell you that much.
There's no doubt about that. Let me set the stage for this Masters thing. Then we'll go to the phone real quick. This was Masters weekend, this last weekend, of course.
That's right.
And a lot of the golfers out there and people who aren't golfers will watch the Masters. If nothing else, it is one of the most beautiful venues one could ever see. The grass is perfect. The plants are perfect. And it really is beautiful. Just a couple of things about the Masters Golf Tournament. It's held in Augusta, Georgia, of course, and it's an old plant nursery. Goes back to the 19th century when they grew plants for sale. And so some of the plants they have are just absolutely beautiful. The azaleas, for example, you know, we talked last week about what azaleas we see in Pensacola, like Formosa and Prada Mobile. Well, you could identify those on television and look at them, and they were just as pretty as they can be. Supposedly, in Augusta, they've got 350 varieties of plants. That seems like an awful lot to me. But what I'd like to do during the show, if we get some time, every golf hole in Augusta, at Augusta National Golf Course, is named after a plant, many of which grow well here, some of which are very close to growing here, but don't do as well as a little bit further north. So maybe we'll talk about that as we move forward. That would be fun.
How many holes are there?
18.
Okay, so you're going to teach me about golf, too, this morning on the Garden Line, the golfing Garden Line. All right, so name the first one, and then we'll go to Joseph on the phone.
The first one is Tee Olive.
Tee Olive?
Tee Olive, right.
That sounds fun, like Tee Off?
No.
Tee Olive,
right. It's a green, evergreen plant. It's got little white blossoms, has a wonderful fragrance. For example, it kind of reminds people of gardenias, if you will. It will grow here. It grows in zone 7 through 10. We're 8, so it will grow here. Very slow-growing plant, and almost, in my opinion, kind of a nondescript plant. A lot of people may have it, but it's one you wouldn't highlight your landscaping with. But Tee Olive is hole number 1 at Augusta National.
Very pretty, absolutely. I love the long leaves, the length of that with the clusters of the beautiful white flowers.
Exactly.
Very lovely.
But they will grow here. They will. And, they're all over. We just don't talk about them too much. Don't know why. It's in the plant business. A lot of plants go through kind of like fashions. You know, some they stay popular for say a generation,
right.
Then they're not popular anymore. I always go back to hydrangeas. Hydrangeas went through a period where nobody really grew them; they just kind of grew. But then it became so popular. The cover of Southern Living magazine, for example.
Oh yeah.
It seemed like
they're
every
weddings,
issue would have those
everything.
Big, beautiful blue hydrangeas on there. So they were very much back in style. So plants go through those type of stages, kind of like I say, just like fashions.
So yeah. Just, oh, you know, agree.
They go through different periods of popularity, we might say.
I love it. A Tee Olive bush or tree is what they call
exactly.
it, or shrub.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go on over to Joseph on the phone. Good morning, Joseph. What's your question for Mike?
Hey, Mike. I had 3 questions, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
One, we have an outdoor dining table, and it's covered with a sunshade or sun sail, and I was wondering what I could plant like as a centerpiece that would do well out there, kind of like it doesn't, you know, it's in the kind of shaded, something ornamental that I could plant just as a centerpiece.
How high, what kind of height, Joseph, do you want as a plant?
Probably no more than 2 foot.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think
12 to.
Sure. If you know, 2 feet, you know, 24 inches, that'd be fine. I think some of your hollies would be really nice. They're evergreen. They're pretty. We're going to talk about the hollies from Augusta National in just a little bit. But one of my favorites that I think you can control, may want to get a little bit higher than 2 feet, is a Nellie Stevens holly. Another plant that would be very good would be. A nandina would be very pretty. Kind of the other word for that is heavenly bamboo, but it has different colorations. It's evergreen, but it'll turn red in the winter. It looks very, very pretty. any of those shade plants would do. An azalea might work there. An encore azalea, those encores have just been so, so pretty this year. And they do just what they say. They have an encore. They bloom in the spring, then they'll bloom later in the season. So those are some of the ideas. One other one that I have used as a kind of a background plant is a Clearia japonica, which is really kind of a, has bronzish growth. It's kind of reminiscent of the old red top, but that would work also. So you've got a whole lot of options, but I would pick one that is pretty year-round. You're going to use your pergola with that, your shade and all that. You're going to be out there all year long. So get something that doesn't lose its leaves, that's not deciduous, and go from there.
Hey, Joseph, I want you to hang on the phone. I want to continue this conversation with you. That way all your questions get answered. But we do have to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Squeeze in those questions, 850-437-1620. We've got more with Mike and Joseph when we come back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. We'll get to your questions if you'd like to text them in. Yes, it is Holy Week. Happy Easter. Almost Good Friday, the best day to plant. But we do have Joseph on the line. Let's continue our conversation. Joseph, what's your next question?
Joseph, I'm going to tell you one more quick recommendation. You know what's really nice from a variegated point of view, not just green, is some of your flax lilies. When they get mature, they're going to be about 24 inches high. So that gives you a variegated look, kind of a grassy, a natural look. That's another suggestion. But we can go to question number two.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to do a vegetable garden, and I realize we have acidic soil, so I was going to do a raised bed. I'd like to do things like lettuce, tomato, cucumber, sweet potatoes, peppers, and herbs. How much depth would I need on a raised bed to be able to do all that?
Oh, I think you could go maybe 12 inches, maybe just a little bit more. You don't need much. Your question is, what kind of soil are you going to put into the raised bed? And, of course, you could put some of the sand that's there, mix it with Canadian sphagnum peat moss, a little organic material, and some lime. You need to put some dolomite lime in there. Very little fertilizer, maybe a little bit of very low nitrogen fertilizer, or none at all. Turn it all under and have it in that raised bed. And I think you'd be ready to go.
Awesome. And then the last thing is, I've got St. Augustine. I did a pre-emergent. It didn't seem to work real well.
I hear you.
So what time do we want to do our weed killer, our insecticide, and our fertilizer?
Well, that's a great question. That is a great question for the day. Let's do fertilizer first. We have kind of told people to hold off until the grass is out of dormancy or almost. I think we're okay. I'm going to fertilize mine this weekend with a 16-4-8 fertilizer. Fair amount of nitrogen, fair amount of potash. You don't need much in the middle number. But I would do that. I would do that this weekend. Insecticide, I don't think we have any problems right now. Your first insect problem is probably going to be if you had centipede grass, especially, which you don't, you have St. Augustine, would be mole crickets, which we're talking mid to late May. I wouldn't put any insecticide on right now. No sense putting on insecticide if you don't need it. A little fungicide to react to any fungus you might get, I would certainly consider doing that on my St. Augustine. I've got a little bit in my St. Augustine, and we probably need to treat that. But I wouldn't do it just as a preventative because it's not really going to work. Finally, insofar as weed killer is concerned, it's about time for post-emergence fertilizer. You may want to wait just a little bit. Let's get that grass totally out of dormancy. But things like Trimec and Weed Free Zone, things that are labeled, that's just so important, as a selective weed killer, in other words, it'll kill the weeds and not the grass, Trimec, Weed Free Zone, those are pretty good ones. But just be sure that whatever one you use has St. Augustine on the label. But we say that all the time on the garden line, but it's so important because you can get the same chemical in a weed killer off the shelf at your garden center or wherever you go. And sometimes some are stronger than others, and they're going to damage St. Augustine. So be sure that the words St. Augustine are on that label, and many times the dilution factor on that particular weed killer, because it's for St. Augustine, is a little less than you would say use on Zoysia or Bermuda or something on that order. So those are the three things I would do and not to do.
I've got a product called Fertilom, I guess.
Yeah, Fertilom's a great brand name. Oh, yeah, they're good.
Okay, and then I've got 15-0-15. Would that be?
I like 15-0. Right, I know I like that formula. I really do. I know a lot of people use it right now. I'd be sure the 15-0-15 has got your slow release nitrogen. It's got some iron and all of that. We used to be able to sell and use 15-0-15, which had none of those extra things in it. But if you've got the slow release and the iron and minor elements, it is a great springtime fertilizer for your lawn.
Okay. And then last year I put down some sod on the side of the house, and it towards the end of the season, it started looking like super thin. Is that like an insect problem?
No, I doubt it. Seriously, could it be a shade problem?
It's on the side of the house, yeah. So
yeah, that's the deal. You got to remember that all turf grasses desire full, blaring, hot, all-day sun. Now, pine trees, shade, that type of thing. Remember what we always say, Jenna? If you've got 50% shade, you're going to have 50% grass, 70-30, 80-20.
Oh, yeah, and you can see it. The evidence is there for sure.
The more the shade you get, the weaker the grass gets.
Yep, you can see the spots, the bald spots.
So sometimes you just have to live with that, and sometimes you say, to heck with it. I'm just going to landscape my way out of it. Put some, landscaping.
Hardscape it.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Oh, man, great questions today. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
Joseph, what a pleasure. Thank you so much. If you'd like to call or text in 850-437-1620. We're going to take another quick break. I promise we're going to get to everyone's questions. Make sure you squeeze them in. Yes, happy Easter. I see all the happy Easter greetings from each and every one of you. Thank you so much. When we come back, this is not Easter. I don't know. This might be because I don't.
You got to be scared now.
Oh, boy. You should be scared. All right, because when we come back, it's Easter, y'all. It's Easter week. We're going to answer this question. When is the best time of year for planting the devil's lettuce?
All you have to do is touch my hand to show me you understand. Unless something happens to me, that's some kind of wonderful. Now anytime my little world seems blue, I just...
It's 9:27. Stay tuned. We're going to get a local news update here shortly with Mark Jacobs in the newsroom. But I was just pulling your chain. Somebody texted in, and thank you for making us laugh. We had some good chuckles during commercial break.
Jenna almost fell out of her chair.
Well, you know what? I think it's funny because it is Good Friday, and so the joke is there. And no, please don't plant weed. Don't do that, and don't tell them that you heard us say you should on the garden line.
No.
But I do want to hear a little bit more. Somebody said that they just made a bunch of jelly out of Japanese loquats.
Loquat is a great small, I'm going to call it a specimen tree, here in Pensacola. It's great, and it produces loquats.
Oh, I know what these are. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and people make loquat jam out of it. Absolutely. It's a great tree insofar as it's not deciduous, doesn't lose its leaves, but it really stays green, and it stays very small. The only problem with loquat trees is it's prone to disease. It really is. The leaves will turn black, just like they've been hit with it's called fire blight. It looks like it's been hit with a blowtorch. And not much one can do about it. It's just generally it'll just be one limb. You could trim it off and move on. Sometimes it's not. It's worse than that. But I would not hold back on planting a loquat tree because of the chance of getting the disease.
Whoa.
Because it really is a neat plant to plant.
So should we plant full sun, partly sun, shade? What's
I
the best?
I've seen it both ways. I've never seen it in the full blaring shade, but I think the sun is fine. Partial, like pine tree shade, would probably be fine. It's a great plant. It really is.
Oh, there's a ton of benefits with loquat fruit, by the way. It could help lower blood pressure, could reduce your risk of cancer, helps calm your respiratory system. It's an immunity booster, helps you lose weight, helps your digestion. Good for focusing. So if you're thinking about a beneficial plant, go with a loquat. And thank you for texting that in. It sounds like you have some jelly ready to go for Easter weekend.
Sounds
I'm excited.
Great. That's fun.
All right, we've got more questions coming in. Squeeze your question in this morning, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a news break and head on over to Mark Jacobs in the newsroom. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Hey, if you watched the Masters, maybe you noticed that each hole is named after a specific plant.
Right.
So number one was the tea olive plant.
And I'm going to jump to number 12.
Oh, okay. This
number
is exciting.
12. This jump to number 12. Number 12 is called the Golden Bell. Now, if you look up Golden Bell, you'll find the name for it that most of us relate to is forsythia. Now, forsythia is rated zone 5 through 8. We are 8, so it should grow well here. My question to the listeners today is I'd like to know if you've ever grown forsythia. Now, you go to Atlanta, Jenna, and you drive down anywhere in Atlanta, anywhere.
Right.
During the blooming time of forsythia in the spring, it will stop traffic. It's bright yellow, beautiful shrub.
It was just there. I don't know if everything was blooming yet,
but it's just absolutely gorgeous. And it grows here. I've never seen much of it myself.
Okay.
Here in Pensacola, but maybe some of our listeners have, and maybe some of our listeners have grown forsythia. But man, is it a gorgeous plant! And you don't have to go too far. Birmingham, Montgomery, Atlanta, that area along there. It's beautiful. Anyway, Golden Bell, I've never heard it mentioned other than at Augusta, but it's on hole number 12, which just maybe this fits in with Good Friday. It's an Amen Corner.
Oh,
hole
that's
number 11,
so good.
12, and 13 is called Amen Corner, where people have lost the Masters over the years at this
Ooh.
Hole number 12 because there's a big water hazard right in front of the green.
Okay.
As a matter of some guy said on the internet, this is kind of cute. He says, more green jackets. You get a green jacket if you win the Masters. More green jackets have been lost at the 12th hole than at the Augusta Dry Cleaners. Anyway, I thought that was a cute expression. Anyway, if anybody is a forsythia expert, let us know.
I love that. Hey, 850-437-1620. If you have a question this morning for Mike here on the Garden Line, we're going to talk more of the plants at the Masters. But first, let's head on over to Scott from Gulf Breeze. You're on the phone. What's your question?
Hey, Scott.
Hello?
Scott, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry, you cut out just for a second. Hey, I've got a question. I don't have any forsythia, unfortunately. But
oh, man.
I've got what I
just knew you did.
I've got what I think is a bird of paradise, although this is the first year that it's bloomed in the 8 years that we've had it. It's a pretty good-sized plant, and now that it is blooming, I'm wondering if I should cut back all the, you know, the tall leaves and those things help with the blooms or anything like that. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, I think you could cut it back. But let me tell you about Bird of Paradise. Over the years in my business, I have been asked many, many times, how do I get my Bird of Paradise to bloom? And with all the research I've ever done, people I've talked to, they just do their own thing. They bloom when they want to. And since it took you 8 years to get a bloom, congratulations, because a lot of people never, ever get blooms off of Bird of Paradise. I always tell people this. If you go out to Los Angeles, these birds of paradise grow out of the cracks in the sidewalk. It's just amazing. You know, it's just that particular climate is conducive to them blooming. Here, I think you're just rolling the dice. And just it's going to bloom when it wants to. I don't think pruning it back, like you're saying, would hurt a thing. I really don't. But it might be another 8 years before you see another bloom, because this is a tough one.
Well, and there's like six blooms on it now, which never had one, and now it's just going crazy.
Take a picture, because you may not see it again for a while.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate the help.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Scott, thank you so much for calling in. If you'd like to text or call, 850-437-1620. It looks like somebody said that they're mole crickets, not their personals, not like their pets, but in their yard. I'm sorry. The mole crickets and ants have already started in their yard.
Yeah, and a lot of the mole crickets go through their generational change. Usually late May into June. That's when they're very small and immature and easier to control.
Okay.
When they're big, mature, they're tough to control. The only way to do it is, well, there are two things. One is to use a good granular insecticide. You can put that on your yard. You can buy one. Be sure it's labeled for mole crickets. And the other thing is to watch your water, because what the mole crickets do is they burrow underneath the grass and loosen the grass. The grass dries out and turns brown. Mm. So if you kind of get that extra water on there, those roots will sometimes survive, and the grass will grow back. So, but be very careful, because with the insecticide, be sure it's labeled for mole crickets. And starting now, it seems a little early, but if you've got them, you might want to give it a try. But you'll need to repeat it in that time frame I mentioned, late May, early June, because then you might take care of the mole crickets that are going to bother you in the future. So that's kind of the mole cricket story. They are primitive. They really look horrible. They'll walk across your driveway. They'll fly. A lot of people don't realize they fly. I've known people who do a lot of fishing. These mole crickets will land on their boat.
The Gulf. Once an insect takes flight, I'm out. I abandon everybody. All caution, you're done. Sorry, you are on your own. If an insect takes flight, it's bye.
Very good. That's good advice.
I moved to Southwest Florida when I was 19, and I went outside and I thought, well, that's a very large beetle-like insect. Is probably about an inch and a half, almost 2 inches long, very, very dark brown and shiny. And I got closer and closer, and then all of a sudden it decided we're gonna have a party, and it just winged out and fluttered around. And apparently they call them palmettos.
Oh yes, palmetto bug.
It's a very fancy word for a big cockroach.
I gotcha.
So listen, if I see a mole cricket flying around my yard, I'm going to be out there in like a welding mask and with a blowtorch.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a big, I'm writing this name, a big you-know-what flies at you.
I can get away with you-know-what.
There you go.
Okay, let's get into some more Masters plant talk. So
okay, here we go.
What hole are we going to visit next?
We're going to go to number two. We're going to go to number two, number three, and number four real quick. Number two is pink dogwood, which we don't recommend for Pensacola.
I know, but it's so pretty.
It's so pretty, but it's not good for Pensacola. Flowering peach is number three. That's kind of a dwarf variety, double pink, red flowers, not for us. Now, we can grow peach trees here.
Yeah.
But a flowering peach, it's not rated for our zone. The fourth one is very interesting. It's some flowering crab apple. And it's pink to red flowers and orange leaves in the fall. And it's will grow here. It's labeled for our zone, flowering crab apple. But then you go to number five, and that's magnolia.
Yay!
Magnolia, yay, one we really do know about here. And, of course, magnolias are beautiful. They will drop their leaves every day of the year. And so you have to live with that. But there are some new magnolias, of course, that grow more upright than the old, what they call Magnolia grandiflora. That's mm-hmm. the old-fashioned one we're all used to. But some of these newer ones have more of an upright growth. So not really the biggest problem with the leaf drop. Number six, hole number six, junipers. Now, I don't know which juniper they are used talking about at the Masters, because there are hundreds of varieties. The two I like in Pensacola, one is Blue Pacific, which is a ground cover. It crawls.
Yes.
It's perfect for the sun. It's a great ground cover. Another one I like is the Hollywood Twister. Maybe I just like the name.
The Hollywood Twister.
You know, a lot of your junipers will kind of go upright. This one grows, and as it grows, it twists as it grows up.
Okay.
It's very distinctive. So juniper is hole number six. Number seven, pampas.
Pampas grass,
absolutely. That's a par four.
One of my favorites.
Number seven. Oh, yeah, it's a great ornamental grass. A lot of people nowadays, I don't think we plant as much pampas grass as we used to.
Mm-mm.
Because now we've got things like muley grass, mm-hmm. which has, you know, as we know, it grows a little shorter, and it has that beautiful purple plume on it.
Yep.
And really does well.
It is. It's very pretty. It is 9:46. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Mike is making his way through all 18 holes at the Masters. If you watched it all, you probably noticed some beautiful flowers. Each hole is named after a specific plant. When we come back, we're going to share some more. Also have a couple of fertilizing questions coming in. If you want to squeeze in your question this morning, 850-437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for tuning in this morning and asking your questions. I had a question come in. Again, 850-437-1620. We have 10 minutes left this morning to get your question in. Good morning to you. Okay, so our friend here says that they're putting fertilizer on the lawn tomorrow. Do you think that the rain will wash it away, Mike?
That's a tough question to answer,
yeah.
Because it depends on a couple of things. One, if we have a quarter inch of rain, that is wonderful. It'll, you know, just water it in. You don't have to water it in yourself. The rain will take care of that. We have 2 inches of rain, it'll probably wash it into the gutter, into the bay. So it depends on the amount of rain. And it also depends on the slope of your yard. If you're kind of on a slope, obviously, a smaller amount of rain could easily wash some of that fertilizer away. I would be tempted to, one, maybe wait till after this strong rain and then water it in yourself. Or if you really are on a flat area, you know, take a little bit of a chance. I don't see 2 inches of rain coming, quite frankly. But
no,
it is gonna rain. And so I, you know, it kind of depends. Just have to look at your individual situation.
Okay, gauge it. And it looks like there's a chance of rain almost every day.
There is, but I think Thursday is your rain day, I believe, is supposedly. We'll see.
Yeah, the highest chance is definitely Thursday. So
right.
You might get away with it, even if you're able to get out there, but still only right before 10 this
right.
morning.
Exactly. But the person who's texting is absolutely on target. Be careful, because have you priced lawn fertilizer lately? You think it costs a lot of money to go to Publix? Well, my goodness, buying lawn fertilizer is expensive. So the last thing you want to do is to lose it. So if you have to wait a couple of days, do so, because you just don't want to have it all wash away
and not
do any good.
No, we're trying to save you money here.
Yes, we are. We're trying to save you some money.
Exactly. Okay, let's do some more Masters talk. This is.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
Yes, it's very intriguing,
okay.
Mike.
All right. Let's go to number 10.
Number 10 at the Masters.
Hole number 10.
Hole number 10.
Par 4, 495 yards. These guys get there in two. It would take me about six or seven to get there. This is one of our favorites, camellia.
Yay!
It's the camellia hole, number 10.
That's the Pensacola hole.
Exactly, the Pensacola Camellia Club, absolutely. By the way, I had Skip Vogel saying, I asked him the other day, I needed a plant for a big pot. And I said, Skip, find me your favorite camellia that the Camellia Club is selling. And I bought it from him, and it is so cool. I'll bring you a bloom when it blooms next year. So thanks, Skip, for helping me out with that.
I love that. We love Skip.
Number 11, which is different than number 2, is the white dogwood. And we've talked, remember when Carol Lord was on our show,
yes.
We talked about how the dogwoods had gone through a lot of different problems over the years. I noted that there was a lot of disease on them.
Mm-hmm.
Carol noted, she says, that her theory is that the dogwoods had the problems because of some of the large hurricanes we had, Hurricane Ivan, even some before that, maybe even Hurricane Frederick, where the tree just was moved around, which disturbed the whole root system, and the dogwoods didn't like that. So white dogwood is number 11, and it's one of our favorite trees, and let's hope it's making a comeback in Pensacola. Number 12, we just talked about that. That's the forsythia. Has anybody told us about forsythia yet?
Okay.
Not yet.
So somebody texted in that says, when I was growing up in Cantonment back in the 70s, we had a beautiful forsythia bush in our backyard. A little memory lane right there.
Well, that is so cool.
That's
Thank you for telling us that. It is gorgeous. They are gorgeous. And like I say, in Atlanta, it will stop traffic. Okay, number 13 is azalea.
Yay, and more Pensacolia.
If you look at the pictures of the Masters, and because the television camera just kind of always will kind of work its way through the azaleas.
Yeah.
And even some of the golfers, I mean, these guys who are the best in the world, will either have a slice or a hook into the woods. And so the camera goes into the woods with the golfer, and they pass these gorgeous azaleas.
Look at that.
I'm probably the only guy not looking at the ball. I was looking at the azaleas.
Beautiful flowers.
And the formosas were just spectacular. Okay, this is a very interesting one here. Number 15, firethorn.
Firethorn.
But we don't know it as firethorn in Pensacola. Our Pensacola natives know it as pyracantha.
Okay.
Pyracantha is a vine. It can grow as kind of a bush, but most people, or a lot of people over the years, have grown pyracantha and let it grow up a fence, or I've seen a lot of people let it grow up a brick fireplace outside.
Pretty.
And it just
grows.
It has orangish berries on it, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. Now, it doesn't cling to the side of a fence or a house like some vines will do. What you have to do, or one way to do it, is to get a product called a lead-headed nail. It's a nail that goes into the brick, and on the end of the nail is a kind of a lead piece that you fold over around the branch. And so as the plant grows, you continue to put in these lead-headed nails, and you train it to go up the fireplace or the brick wall or the fence or whatever. Just absolutely gorgeous. They're not deciduous, so they're pretty year-round. But then you got to, when they get really mature, you're going to have to control them and prune them wherever they're crawling up. But firethorn.
Firethorn.
I like the name firethorn.
I do like that. It's powerful is what it is. And it sounds a little painful, but it's very beautiful. It doesn't hurt you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's share the last few that you have for us,
that's
Mike.
Cool.
All right. We'll be right back here on The Garden Line. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We are closing out our time this morning on The Garden Line. We've had way too much fun, and we've been reminiscing about this past weekend's Masters golf tournament, and every single hole is named after a specific plant. So we've hit several. We have maybe two or three left,
Mike. We have three left, and they're all good Pensacola plants. You ready?
Yay!
Real quick. Number 16 is Redbud, which is a great, what we call an understory tree. They're all over Pensacola. Under big oak trees, you can plant them because they're a smaller growing tree, but they are gorgeous in the spring, no doubt about it. Number 17, and we talked about this with our first phone caller, is Nandina. And next week, I've had a guy over in Okaloosa County, a county agent over there, send me the list of new varieties of plants. And Nandina has got a lot of new varieties, especially the dwarf type. Nandina is also called Heavenly Bamboo, as we've talked about it, but it's not a bamboo. That's just a name. So in any event, we're going to talk a little bit about some of those new varieties of plants next week. And number 18 is, of course, holly. And there's so many different kinds. My favorite, and they say they use this at Augusta, I did not see it on television, was Nellie R. Stevens, a great holly. We may talk a little bit about more of that next week. But that's the Masters plant list. And next year, as you're watching the Masters.
Now we're all going to pay attention.
Pay attention. You might find a firethorn somewhere. You never know.
Exactly. And hey, don't forget, Friday is Good Friday, and it's a good day to get to planting.
It's a good day to plant. I hope everyone has a happy Easter.